the man at Clean Logic who changed the game for hiring people with disabilities.
What I would say about Rich is, like, we didn't give him shit. We just said, here's what we need to do. You're in the role. Do it. And he was brave. And he did it. He's magic.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. Mike, it's been a minute.
Welcome
back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back to the show.
Where have you been, man?
I think I was traveling. I had some traveling to do. I was at Vistage, and then I was in Vegas at the Sphere, maybe.
Yeah, I saw the Instagram. I'm glad you made it back in one piece.
I did.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm excited for today's guest because we talk a lot about what it takes to run a successful business. And of course, with the Inspiration Foundation, you have made it your mission to increase, hiring people with disabilities by at least 10% more than, the goal is more than that. But to do that, to really do that in an effective, meaningful way, you got to have, good people around. You got to surround yourself with good people who buy into the mission and really help. And today's guest is definitely one of those people who you guys have raved about for a long time. He was a key person at Clean Logic for a long time, recently retired, and we were so lucky to have him on the show to talk about how you guys made it work together as a team. Rich Ryder joins us on the show. Rich.
Good to see you, Rich.
I would also add that I think Rich was extremely instrumental in allowing us to achieve our mission and do the things that we do that we talk about and want to share with the world. So very special guest today, Rich. Thank you, Rich.
So Rich, you were the warehouse production manager at Clean Logic for just about 5 years, dealing with Isaac and Mike and all of their shenanigans. So I want to hear first off, like, how you got in with these guys. Like, how did you meet up with Isaac and Mike?
So about 40 years ago, I started working for UPS. And I met a good friend, Dave Garner. We worked together at UPS for several years. Then we both went our own directions, met up at another company. Both ended up going our own directions again. And one day he asked if I was interested in joining him again. And I told him, no, I'm not interested in driving an hour one way to work with you, Dave. I really like you. And then one day I reached back out to him. I said, hey, Dave, I'd like to come visit. And the marriage started. So I got invited back for an interview, met Mike and Isaac during the interview. And that's the beginning of the story.
Well, what you guys ended up like building and growing together is something, truly incredible and amazing. It's something that a lot of other businesses look at and they go, wow, you guys are an inspiration for us and other entrepreneurs who want to hire people with disabilities, who want to, really look to Clean Logic as, what's the word I'm looking for? You guys are like showing people how it's done. As a group, you guys are kind of like leading the way.
Building the model.
Building the model. That's right. So when you joined up with Clean Logic, did you know that that was going to be kind of part of it? Was trailblazing, kind of leading the way?
So yeah, it was definitely part of the conversation. During the conversation, there was some sewing machines sitting off to the side in the corner. And Dave said, hey, one day we want to start sewing. I was like, oh, okay, great. And so then, yeah, one day it happened. One day they came to me and said that we need to start sewing. We were working with a team of blind students from Overbrook School of the Blind, and they were building gift sets, and they built more gift sets than we probably needed. And Dave said, hey, we need to stop building gift sets. I said, great. What are we going to do? He says, well, we're going to start sewing. I said, oh, okay, well, I don't know how to use a sewing machine. And Dave, I don't know if you noticed or not, but they're blind. And he said, did you ask them? And I said, I did not. And truth be told, I learned how to use a sewing machine, and some of our best sewers came from that team. And I learned real quickly that the limitations of the individuals were probably more perceived than reality, and that they can do anything, right? Literally, they can do whatever they want.
I love that. Right off the bat, it's like, that's amazing that you walked into this job kind of not knowing exactly, you know, what you're going to learn from it. You were attracted to it because you thought it was an interesting opportunity. And then all of a sudden you found this whole other reason for being there. Can you talk a little bit about more about that? Like the purpose element of it.
Yeah. So it became very, very aware that it was bigger than moving boxes in and out of a warehouse. Like, I'm really good at that. I've been doing it for 40 years and I pretty much got the moving boxes in and out of a warehouse pretty good, right? I was pretty proud of myself. I came in and, you know, Mike interviews me and I'm like, man, I can lower your cost per piece in receiving and I can improve your inventory. And man, I can do all these great things with these numbers. And he said, well, that's nice. Are you a good person? When I just kind of froze, like, yeah, I'm a good person. So, you know, it all stems from their culture.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, you know, if you're not a piece of the culture, you're not a good fit. You just don't belong work with those individuals, you know, and that's led from the top. Mike and Isaac lead it. They live it. They dream it. And they allowed me to grow and learn that was, could be an important piece of my background and my history and who I am. And before that, everything was about the penny or the half penny. It wasn't so much 100% about the individuals, whereas this kind of flip-flopped and it became about the individuals. And then how can we improve our costs?
That's fascinating. I mean, cause you don't hear that from most businesses first. You know, you hear like you lead with the bottom line is the bottom line first. And this sounds the other way around. And then when you recently retired, when you decided to hang it up and you looked back at your career, where does this job like kind of rank for you? And how did it, you know, when you talk about meaning, where does it sit for you compared to other jobs along the way?
Well, this is definitely my journey through life and logistics and work with individuals, definitely at the top. It had changed me, my wife, my kids, my father. You know, I'm not just saying it because Mike and Isaac are hanging out here with me.
You don't work for them anymore. So they
can say anything. You say anything you want.
Don't work for them anymore. But yeah, I can't tell you what it's done for me. And every day I look for ways to pay it forward. You know, I didn't know. I got to be honest. I didn't know I even had it in myself. I didn't know that was something that was inside of me to just embrace and just look forward to every day.
Well, can I add in here just a little bit? Cause I thought, you know, one of the things when we, was an aha moment is we had Rich's retirement dinner and the way he was talking about just how it impacted his life. You know, we talk about on the show, other leaders talk about how it elevates leaders to be better leaders. And I think that night, you know, Rich, I'd love to just bring it back a little bit there because you could intimately talk about each of your team members. You talked a lot about even, you know, when we started this process, you know, with Walmart to partner, we, you know, we had to hit a goal of, I think, what was it, 90,000 pieces?
96,000.
Yeah, 96,000. Excuse me. Sorry, I don't want to discount those 6,000 pieces. But, you know, like, I want you to share a little bit more because I really felt It was just like unbelievable to see your passion. And even, you know, I love when your wife was over there saying, Rich, it's not just about you. It's also about our family. Like, you really impacted our family. And like, you know, just going into that. But I'd love for you to just even talk about how your relationship with the employees impacted your life, and really how it impacted you as a leader. Because I think that's what we really want to showcase today and hopefully get other people to see just what it really brings to your life, especially as you said, you worked in the logistics and you know how to move boxes. But what I feel like what this has done, it's about purpose. So can you talk a little bit more about that and the employee relationship?
Yeah. Never worked with a group of individuals like the team on the production team. They care for each other. They love each other. And they probably are the happiest people I've ever worked with. You can come rolling in to work with a bad day or thinking you're having a bad day, and it's really quickly changed by individuals saying, hey, Mr. Rich, I did this yesterday. Do you want to see pictures? And you're like, yeah, sure. Show me pictures. You know, and then, you know, he talks about the family and, you know, I was fortunate. My father was an executive, and it was very black and white growing up, you know, different generation. And I told a story. We were sitting at dinner one time, and I'd been working for Clean Logic for a couple of years, and there was a young man sitting next to us that had a disability, and loud noises were bothering him, and you could see he was autistic. And his mother, she was just doing everything she could to make it normal for her and everybody around. And I said something to my dad. I said, oh, this young man, you know, he's got a chance, right, with these type of programs. And my dad looks at me, I said, well, he's autistic. And next thing you know, this young man just walks over and takes a straw right out of my dad's glass. Now, I'm going to tell you, a couple of years ago, Pop would have probably said, what is wrong here? But he turned to that young man and he said, that's my straw. Would you like to keep it? And that's when you knew it was more than a job. It was more than moving boxes or sewing stretch cloth or, you know, whatever the challenge the team put in front of me. You learn real quick that it was more than a product or more than that. It was about showing the world that there's really good people out there that do really good work. They may not do it the same way we do it, but you know, we need to tap into that and leverage them.
What I love about this conversation is, you know, we on this show, we talk a lot to business leaders, and we talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, and we talk a lot about, you know, parents, people with disabilities, and you know, when you start a company. For me, I have a daughter who has cerebral palsy, and you know, you think about what her future is going to look like, and it's a constant concern. It's something I think about a lot. And to have the opportunity to talk to somebody like you, Rich, you know, if she does go into the workforce at some point, and you think about, okay, who's she going to work with, and who's she going to report to, and all this stuff. And it's, you know, it's somebody like you who's saying all these wonderful things. And it's just such an amazing, it's an amazing thing, because not only for me as a parent, where you think like, okay, there's an amazing experience for my daughter out there, but then to think that experience, you know, thinking about it from your perspective and hearing all this, it's an incredible thing to listen to and to hear. And so I just want to say thank you for even sharing all this and opening up about this, because it's incredibly comforting to hear that from my perspective. And also, it's just something that like everybody should listen to. Entrepreneurs should hear this. Parents should hear this. Other employees should hear this. You know, if you're sitting at a place and they're talking about expanding a program to bring in more people with disabilities, I'm sure there are going to be people who are approaching that with some skepticism. Like, what does this mean for us in terms of like, how is this going to affect my day to day? And maybe to those people, like, what would you say to somebody who might be a little bit skeptical about how this is going to affect their day-to-day, Rich?
Well, I say open your doors and do it, right? Yeah, it'll change your workforce. It'll change your company. And it could change the world, right? Give them the opportunity. I know we had an interview by a young man, and he said, just give us an opportunity. You know, it's amazing. Like I said, I don't know how else to explain it, but if I was starting a business and I am going to start a small business, but now I got to figure out how to pay it forward, right? How do I continue what they gave me the opportunity to see is important in life, you know?
Well, Rich, yeah. You got to say what you're doing now, because yeah. I actually think it's great what you're trying to do. And like you said, you're trying to pay it forward. So please tell us all about it.
I'm going to start mobile grooming dogs. So I've always had a passion to, with animals. I actually went to school for, back in the day, it was called industrial arts or wood shop and, you know, those kinds of things. So I had an arts side to it. And then I found this passion where I get to, mold dogs and make them look good. Right. That's so awesome. I use my artistic ability to hang out with dogs.
That's great.
Which is, very rewarding. But I am looking to, as I scale, can I add individuals to help me bathe that, you know, may not have opportunities to do other things, other places. So that's obviously in the back of my mind, once we get this thing up and running, you know, how do I get a hold of the IU 13s and say, I have an opportunity. What can you do to help me?
That's great.
We have the playbook and contacts for that.
See, and that's a great point though, Mike, because you guys brought in the playbook and the blueprint, like, and Rich is going to go out and start his own business now, and
now
he can just basically hit you up and be like, hey guys, you know, I want to bring in people with disabilities into the fold when I start my business. It's such an easy thing to ask for and an easy thing for you guys to share. And this is how we continue to grow that. This is great.
That's the whole point, why we want to tell this story, right? And so I have a question for Rich. Like when you started, there was no playbook. We had no experience. You were the guy literally that pioneered it out in the warehouse with this team and said, let's try this. Now nothing is ever perfect. Can you talk to some of the listeners about what were some of the challenges that you encountered building the workforce, allocating work, trying new things, and then how did you guys approach these to resolve them or iron out all the difficulties?
I think the biggest limitation is I didn't know, right? So as we started working, when we were sewing sponges, you know, it was ask the individuals with vision impairment, like, what do you need from me? And they asked for, you know, a straight line on the sewing machine. So I went and bought something and put a straight line on the sewing machine. And then we went to stretch cloths and they're like, well, we need to know how long it is. So I'm like, okay. So I put a ruler, one of those triangular rulers, on the sewing machine. But all my wonderful ideas and all the guidance and all the neat things that I got accomplished all came from the team I was working with. I was just fortunate enough to have a relationship with them. Like, okay, how do we do this? What do you need from me? I can remember one young lady, I was trying to teach her how to sew and she was blind. She goes, you're not blind. I'm like, no, I'm not blind. She goes, can you find somebody to teach me that's blind? I said, great idea. So then we started using individuals that had vision impairment to help the vision impaired team members, because she was right. I'm like, no, you gotta straighten this out. And she was finally had enough and said, no, this isn't working. I need somebody with vision impairment to help me. They'll understand. I'm like, okay. So really all the neat things we've added that cost almost nothing to the facility for safety and compliance and efficiency came from the team members. It wasn't really neat ideas by Rich Ryder. You know, so that's what
just
that's
but that you know team. What though? There's ego in that, and in a good way for you, because when somebody says, like, hey, this is not working for me, I need somebody else. There's two paths you can go down, and you made a choice in that moment, Rich. I mean, and I want to applaud you for that. And I feel like you deserve credit for this, because, you know, there are a lot of people, a lot of bosses in that situation that'll go, no, you're going to do this the way that I'm telling you to do this and stop. And then there are people that you, like you, who listen and you say, you know what? You're making a good point. I hear you. I'm listening to you. And I think that needs to be noted, and you need to be, applauded for that. That's great. It's a huge lesson there.
I think people need to understand that they're only successful if the individuals they're working with are successful. So my whole life I was brought up that I needed to find the individuals that wanted to be successful, and let's mentor theirs and work with them. And at Clean Logic, it was different because the individuals had disabilities, but till it was over, I never looked at disabilities. You know, you interview somebody, I didn't look at disabilities.
But I think there's also something to say about the way you approach and solve a problem. Like from Rich's point of view before, it's like, I'm going to teach this person how to sew. But the employee at the time said, you're not blind. You don't work the way that I work. Let me try and solve this problem with someone who's already done the work that is like me. So you have a whole new like way of going about things and communication and solving problems that never existed in our company or any company that doesn't have people with various abilities or disabilities before. And it kind of becomes a whole different set of muscles that you don't know exist until you use them. Do you know what I'm saying? But you got to try it before you, in order to discover that. And I think, and I see some of those things today and in all different aspects of our company that like we wouldn't have or have figured out or even tried or thought of if we didn't have people that, you know, were disabled in various ways, because it's just totally different way of thinking.
But also I really want to I want to give you guys your flowers, because the fact that leadership is setting this example of like, hey guys, if something isn't working, we need to listen to people and really hear them when something isn't working and listen to them and listen to their advice and suggestions. Because I'm telling you, that's where we've all seen a lot of businesses where like the people on top think they know the answers to everything. And if it's not working, it's not our fault, it's your fault. And like the fact that, you know, we've all seen it a million times.
Well, I think one of the success criteria that I think has been unbelievable, that again goes back to, you know, some of the things that Andersen University talks about, is productivity and safety. So Rich, I would love to understand, how the heck did we go 400 days without a workplace injury? I think
we went 100 days.
We went over 400 days, and then we're working on another 200. It was only over 400, I remember. But I think the key thing is the key thing for us, Rich, what is that secret sauce? Because I think that I've heard what the case studies say, but I'd love to know, how did we accomplish that with people with disabilities, forklifts driving around, stuff sticking out, pallets, how did we do it?
Yeah, we were not safe by accident, right? That was not a thing. I came in with a big safety background, working at some large facilities. And once again, the leadership team, they believed in it. So when you implemented a safety rule it was the way of life. It wasn't a, hey, by the way, don't do that. It was because we don't want you to go home differently than you came here. I tell everybody everywhere I worked, these safety rules are as much selfish on my part as to protect you, because I don't ever want to make that phone call, right? I don't want to make that call that Rich Ryder was hurt and it's really bad and you need to meet me at the hospital. That was being very selfish. So I know, Dave often talks about our safety culture is as great as our culture. And our fundamentals, you step outside the green line, the magical green line that you're supposed to be wearing a vest, somebody's going to tell you. And that somebody could be an hourly, but somebody could be a leader. They're going to bring you a vest and remind you that. So it's a mindset. If you set that mindset right away and you live by it, then everybody's going to do it. It's the broken window theory, right? So you don't let the place, a mess, and everybody's going to clean up. You treat safety as if it's a day-to-day thing. Everybody's going to be safe as they can.
Yeah, safety is everybody's responsibility.
And you lay the law down from day one with when you bring employees in, you let them know that this is something that we don't mess around with. This is something that we take seriously just like you said, not just, to protect the company, to protect you as an individual. And this is as serious as it gets around here. And you guys 400 days, that is in a functioning real deal warehouse like that with like the forklifts and all that stuff. That's a real big deal.
Final number, do you remember?
No, what, I don't know exact number, but I will tell you in my 5 years almost there, we had one OSHA recordable injury.
Wow.
So it was unfortunate, happened, but
I'm pretty sure we had 1,025 days, if I remember, safe work days. And then we had that one injury and it's been 300 plus 400 since that time.
It's amazing, you guys. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's close to 1,000 something, but day by day, go home better than you came in.
So, all right. I always love to ask this question too. You know, when you're talking about people that have you've worked with, that have worked for you, that have worked, you know, and you're talking about stories that you like to tell, people who that you're proud of, some of your proudest moments of some of your coworkers. Is there one or two that you'd like to share on this show?
I'm very proud of the leadership team that I got to lead. Lillian coming in from a special needs teacher and leading this team. John and Megan promoted from the warehouse, taking individuals from the production team and promoting them into picking and packing and receiving. My greatest moments are seeing the success of others. That's just, if I sit back and look, you know, there was a young man, Tyrese, when he first started, he was having trouble. You know, in the evenings, I'm guessing he's playing video games and he was coming into work and he wasn't 100%. And there was plenty of times I had to knock on his table and wake him up a little bit. And one day I just had a heart to heart with him and Lil. I'm like, you got so much more to offer. And then he took that to heart. And I think Tyrese, you know, really is a great player, a good leader. He's really been a success story on, you know, how to make it better. So the cool things, you know, you can look at the numbers, 96,000 stretch cloths. That was awesome.
That's incredible.
A million units completed and shipped to Walmart last year. Unbelievable. But if you can't lead people and make them better people, then it's just numbers.
Yeah. The 96,000 pieces, the million units produced and shipped. But when you see how it's done by the team and the joy, the excitement, the camaraderie that team has, it's unlike anything I've ever seen. Like there is no group like what we have that produces all of these products for us. It's unbelievable. So it makes those units that we've done that much better and that much more amazing just to see like what they do for the culture, what they do as a group. They did a talent show not that long ago. And it was amazing to see them together, like supporting each other and cheering each other on and laughing at their jokes. And like, I said to Evelyn and Angie, I'm like, there is no other company out there that does it like this. And it was just amazing. And Rich, like you built that, you helped build that, you got that team, and they have so much respect for you. And when we had your lunch at the office, your retirement lunch at the office, everybody gave like heartfelt speeches to you. It was out of control. That doesn't happen anywhere except at our company, and it needs a person like Rich in order to do that. And I'm so thrilled and thankful and appreciative for what you've created at CleanLogic.
Hey, Evan, before you shut us down, I just want to close with one thing about Rich that I thought is a great legacy. It's when we did our ribbon cutting and he gave tours to our customers and, you know, other nonprofits. You know, we had a great turnout from the community. And the chief innovation officer of Pennsylvania speaks and talks about his tour. And he says, you know, this one thing is going to stick with me for the rest of my life. And it's going to be that anybody can do anything. And I thought when, you know, Rich says that, I love quoting him on that, but that was one of the things that I really felt like, you know, being able to be quoted that at that ribbon cutting, I just felt like that's what we really, you know, you were able to build. And that's kind of like your legacy that I feel you left. And I love you for what you've done, man.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. The retirement party was very emotional. The good news is I work for two very emotional guys, so they didn't have any troubles when I got emotional.
I was going to say, is Isaac, do I, Mike, hearing some tears over there, man? I love it.
We say it. At Clean Logic, we're a crying company. Yeah. Everybody cries at Clean Logic.
We're proud of it. We're proud of it.
Yeah. Can I tell you something though? Like, I can feel it. I can feel it in the air right now. Like, and I mean this in like the most positive way. Like, what you guys have created, the culture you've created, like, this is amazing. You can tell that there's a sense of pride between the three of you guys and the company that you've built and the culture you guys have built, and it shows in the product. And it's just, it's an honor to like be here and like listen to you guys talk about it. It's great. You guys should all be so proud of what you guys built together. This is amazing.
That's really neat. I always tell people when we give tours and stuff and I get to share all these stories that the neat part is I just get to tell the truth, right? I don't have to remember anything or any key taglines or anything. I just get to share the truth. And these two gentlemen allowed us to build it. They gave me the opportunity to grow and become a better person, husband, father, son. So yeah, I owe them a lot.
Thank you, Rich.
Likewise. So thank you, Rich.
What an episode. I love this. This is what an episode. Thank you for coming on the show, Rich, and opening up and telling us all about this. This is an incredible episode, Driven by Purpose. We appreciate you guys, and Isaac and Mike, appreciate you guys too. And you all three of you guys have done an amazing thing here. And really, if you're listening to this, how can you not be encouraged to want to create a business like this, right? You hear their stories, what they've built, the culture they've built, stories they have, they're continuing to grow forward. Like, how inspiring.
And there's nothing preventing. There's nothing preventing you from doing it. Anybody that wants to do it, there's absolutely nothing preventing you from doing it. Just do it.
Yeah. I mean, couldn't have said it better. That's right.
You should do it.
You should do it.
There you go. All right, Rich, we're going to have you back when you launch your business, because we want to hear all about that. And we will talk to you soon. Remember, if you want to continue to support the show, like, subscribe, comment, share, all that stuff. Tell a friend. Driven by Purpose. We will see you next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.